Welcome to the Pelvic Floor Fit Podcast. My name is Dr. Emily, and I am a mama of three under three. I'm a pelvic health physical therapist, and I'm a certified pre and postnatal fitness coach. And it is my absolute passion to empower y'all to achieve a pain-free pregnancy, the birth of your dreams, and a confident postpartum recovery. Just a quick reminder about information that I share in this podcast. It is not intended to be taken as medical advice intended to diagnose or treat any illness or condition. You should speak with your healthcare provider about any of the topics discussed and how they may or may not pertain to you. While I am a pelvic health physical therapist and certified pre and postnatal fitness coach, we do not have a therapist-patient relationship or trainer-client relationship. I am so excited for you to hear from my guest today. Her name is Sarah. She is an L&D nurse, and she specializes in gestational diabetes. And she is just a wealth of knowledge of how to avoid actually getting gestational diabetes, but even if you do, how to manage it really well, how to still have a really wonderful pregnancy, and still have the birth of your dreams. That label does not have to set you back. So I'm so excited, without further ado, to introduce her.
Hey guys.
Hello. So everybody, this is my good friend Sarah. She is in New York. So that's so cool, being in Texas, getting to pick someone's brain all the way up in New York this morning or this afternoon, whatever it is. But just introduce yourself a little bit and tell everybody what you do.
Okay. Hi, mamas. Happy New Year's. So I'm a labor and delivery nurse. I've been a nurse for the past 6 years. My whole career has been with women, straight out of school, labor and delivery, which is amazing. And I'm also a high-risk OB nurse. So I kind of have like this whole picture of what happens in pregnancy and then what happens after you deliver and postpartum and all that. And what I do now is that I really just want to help women have better outcomes and babies. Like, I've seen too much. And I really just feel like it's just a lack of education. I worked at two different facilities, like a smaller hospital and a bigger organization. And like, I see that the lack of education really impacts just women's health and labor and their experience, and then ultimately their baby's health. So and I just feel like there's just like really lack of support for gestational diabetic mamas. And as I'm like working with these moms every single day, I'm just like, you know what, like there are so many practical tips, and I just like want to just help one mama at a time. I know I can't fix a lot of issues in the healthcare system, but I feel like if I could help just one mama at a time, even then that makes my day. So that's
absolutely. And honestly, that's what I'm super passionate about too. That's why we connected. Yes. I see the exact same thing with pelvic health. Like, I get all of the messages of like, oh, I'm peeing my pants in pregnancy, and my OB told me like I just have to wait till I deliver. There's nothing we can do, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, don't suffer. Like, we can fix this.
Yeah.
So I just love that. And I think ultimately that's the coolest thing, is when you empower mama, you empower the whole family. And then she knows better, you know, for any future pregnancies. She tells her friends, and like, it becomes a whole movement, of support and knowledge. And it's just awesome. And it's such a great time of year to discuss it, because, I know, even for those of us who have never received that like diagnosis of gestational diabetes, most of us are pretty bad at regulating our blood sugar, which has a big impact on how we feel, on how our pregnancy goes, on how, like you said, delivery goes, how baby's health goes. And exercise is obviously something that's very helpful, but I've loved seeing you've had all these really practical tips with the holidays, because that's a time that we tend to struggle, having a lot of sweets and temptations and being off of schedule. So why don't you give us a couple of quick, simple tips for like somebody who is going, okay, I know I probably don't have great blood sugar regulation. Where do I even start?
I love that question, because honestly, You just got to keep it simple and realistic. Like, a lot of times we're just like, no, like, people think like no carbs, but like, how do you tell someone whose culture is just revolving around rice, for
That'd be
example?
miserable.
And I'm from New York, so it's like a melting pot of different ethnicities and religions and cultures. So, like, I totally agree. Like, you got to keep it really simple. So what I would suggest is, first of all, cook for the entire family as a mother. Like, you can't just be cooking one meal for you, one meal for the toddler, one meal for this. Keep it very simple, family friendly, delicious, make it very flavorful. I love like seasonings to keep it like very flavorful. That's like my first tip. Just keep it simple. Second tip, really, you gotta try to keep it moving. First of all, it's great for your blood sugar to keep active. Nobody's saying to start like lifting weights when you're pregnant because we want you to be safe. Like, try to keep it realistic. But I love to suggest walking after meals because it's something realistic and it's just helpful to regulate your blood sugar like immediately. And also, it's gonna help prepare you for labor. Like, we want you to be ready for labor, right? And help the baby engage in the pelvis. And just like, just helpful also for your mind, just like giving you clarity and helping you ease with anxiety. That's a second great tip. Third is really pairing your foods. I feel like people really struggle with that. They're just like loading their plate up with carbs, which, I mean, we can't tell you like don't have carbs. Like, you're pregnant, you have cravings, right? But let's say you do have a craving for like French fries or something, right? Pair it with a protein, first of all. And then, second of all, pair it with a fiber, like a salad, and pair with healthy fats like avocado. And once you see like colors on your plate, you know you're good because you're pairing the carb with other things that will help prevent like spiking of the sugar right away. It'll help like even it out. Another great tip is just like having support, like, reaching out like for other like advice for like meal planning. But yeah, just keep it simple, guys.
Yeah, no, and I love that because I've heard that a lot, even from my side of like, oh, but my family doesn't want to eat like I do. And I really think the more that you can adjust your entire family's eating somewhat and like do it little by little. Don't go like, okay, y'all, we're going paleo today.
No.
But little by little, just making those healthy shifts as a whole family, like making multiple meals every meal, it's just not realistic. That's so much extra work. And that's the last thing we need during motherhood. We need simplicity. We need to make things easier. So I love that. And I know something you've also preached a lot is like eating regularly in addition to making sure they're balanced. What kind of like window do you like to recommend for like how often pregnant mamas need to be eating to help with their blood sugar balance?
Yeah, so a lot of doctors have been like saying the same thing. And I've been reading research and it's been saying the same thing. So I'm happy like it's correlating in real life also. So they say like you should have the three main meals, but have like a few snacks. So that means that you should be eating like every 2 to 3 hours, whether it's breakfast, a snack, lunch, a snack, but also keeping it very proportionate, like portion control, and like healthy snacks, kind of like apples and peanut butter and or like nuts, which is really good also for postpartum guys because it's really good for breastfeeding. Like, whatever you're learning now, you can implement postpartum because these are easy things to implement and it's healthy for you postpartum as well. I also forgot to mention water. Water is a big thing. Water helps balance out blood sugar and it helps regulate it, especially like if you eat more carbs. But throughout your pregnancy, like, it's really recommended you keep hydrating and also postpartum because water is milk. So,
Well, and that's the funny thing. I think for some reason, we just have everything so compartmentalized in our brains. So we think like, well, pregnancy is totally different. It's like it's definitely not. Like your body's going through a lot, but like healthy habits are still healthy habits, you know? And whenever we find this better advice and a better way to go about it, like just make that part of your life and just continue it on. And yeah, that'll affect your postpartum recovery. It'll affect any subsequent pregnancies. I know You and I have chatted a little bit about, like, I have definitely done things the wrong way and the right way in my motherhood journey. I
That's
am
okay.
currently pregnant my
That's
third.
okay.
Well, and that's the thing, like, we learn and we get better. And, you know, that's the cool thing is, like, I kind of look back and I'm like, man, I'm so glad that I have learned these things, no matter how I had to learn them. But, like, with my son, my first, I actually was having hypoglycemic episodes,
Oh.
which as a PT, like, I knew enough to know that's what was happening. But I think I was just still kind of in denial. I was very much in like the overtraining, under eating mentality. And I would just be at the gym and be doing something super basic that I'd been doing for years. It was no big deal. And I would just like get dizzy and my vision would start to get all, you
Yeah.
know, dim. And I was like, okay, I know this is hypoglycemia. This is not good. And my OB-GYN was not concerned about it at all because she was like, well, you didn't fail the gestational diabetes test. And I was
Yeah.
like, okay, but this is still not good. Like, I wouldn't continue treating a patient in this condition. I'd tell them,
Yeah.
you need to have a snack or whatever. So I know that was another question that I received was like, obviously with gestational diabetes, we're talking about not having spikes in our blood sugar and things like that, and helping to regulate it so it's not going too high. But in addition, like making sure it's not too low, whether we have gestational diabetes or
Yeah,
not.
it's a bit.
Yeah, a lot of pregnant mamas struggle with that because our bodies are pushing so hard and doing so much, and maybe we didn't nourish our bodies super well before pregnancy.
Yeah.
So is there anything you would say, like advice-wise, for like not letting your blood sugar get too low versus not letting it spike, or is it
Yeah.
really the same management
So
situation?
it's different because what you said is true. A lot of mamas have that and they think their blood pressure is dropping or whatever. Like, it's very common. It's because your body's working so hard and it's all these hormones are like in play as well. Again, I recommend, like, first of all, don't push yourself too hard. Like, if you start to feel like, okay, like this activity is really making me like dizzy or whatever, like stop, rest up, and like for the future, know that. Second of all, really balancing your meals, making sure that you're having healthy carbs as well. Like, don't take out carbs at all, just balance them out. So, when you have carbs, if you don't balance it out with the protein, your blood sugar will spike very fast and it could drop very fast too. So, that could be another thing. So, they say, like, if your blood sugar is low, we recommend that you take like orange juice and then eat some like peanut butter or protein bar after to help stay. Keep that blood sugar like stable. So that could be another thing that a lot of mamas sh I always tell my mamas, like, c carry a snack in your bag. Like, you never know. You really never know. And just like really really having those snacks every 2 to 3 hours. Again, healthy snacks. You know, pairing them, whether you have gestational diabetes or not, you really need to watch what you eat when you're pregnant. Because it really can affect baby and you know. So definitely like keeping snacks on hand, keeping healthy snacks on hand, balancing your meals as well, and resting is what I really would recommend. And it's really common, so don't feel like it's not just you, Emily.
Oh, well, yeah, and that's the crazy thing is like I was a doctor of physical therapy and I was still doing that, you know. So, like, it's so common, like a lot of us just weren't taught those things. We were, you know, taught the food pyramid, but we weren't taught about balancing, you know, carbs and proteins and how that's absorbed into the system and things like that. Or even just a practical way to actually approach it. And honestly, gosh, like having snacks on hand will serve you so well as a mom because especially you get those toddlers, they get hangry.
So he it's 100%. And with my 2 boys, I cannot leave my house without snacks. So this is a practical tip for postpartum as well, guys.
Well, and honestly, it makes so much sense when you actually understand the physiology behind it. And I mean, I will notice with my toddler, like if I don't make sure he has his breakfast within a certain window when he wakes up, if he doesn't have frequent snacks, he's gonna be hangry. And it's like, yeah, that's the body saying, I need nourishment. Like my blood sugar's getting low. I need this stuff. So
Especially as when you're pregnant.
yes. Yeah. So like it's super important for all of us. It serves our families really well. And yeah, just having something handy you can throw in your purse and then you don't have to worry about it when it comes up. There you
And
go.
I just want to add, for all my mamas that are getting testing, like NSTs and BPPs, you definitely want to eat before you come so that your baby is active for your NSTs and BPPs. And I always recommend, like, especially the busy mamas, they're like, oh, I didn't have time, I was rushing, whatever, I had to make my appointment. Throw something in your bag, whether you're getting an NST or not, you always have a snack on hand. A healthy, like, protein bar doesn't take up that much space, like, not that big. And you're good. You're gonna be good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love like the chomp sticks. Have you seen those? They're like they're kind of like beef
Yeah,
jerky,
that's
kind of like
great.
super convenient. They don't go bad or anything. You don't have to worry about refrigerating them.
Tiny.
Yes. And my toddler loves them too. So I'm like, here you go. And I also loved what you said about, because I think a lot of us have heard, eating for two, and that's been like the thing. And I totally embraced. I went from like 6 years of hardcore dieting and overtraining to like, screw it, I'm gonna gain weight anyway. So just YOLO, like eat whatever. And oh my gosh, it was so horrible, it was so miserable on both ends. Like in pregnancy and postpartum was
100%.
miserable. And I actually read this pregnancy. What is it? Real Food for Pregnancy by Lauren. Have to put it in the caption because I can't think of it right now. But I feel like you would totally agree with her recommendation if she was like, it's not eating for two, it's eating for like 1.1. Like you do need
100%.
to, like you do
I've
need to
seen
increase your calories, but like that doesn't mean you eat junk. That means like
I've seen really bad complications from that. I don't know why society, like, first of all, they make us like think like we should gain like eat whatever you want when you're pregnant, and then you have to bounce back right after you give birth. Like, what is society teaching women? It's not healthy, first of all. I was like even having a conversation with this with one of the doctors that I work with at the high risk pregnancy center that I am, and she was telling one patient, like, yes, you don't have gestational diabetes. You passed your gestational diabetes test, but your baby is measuring big because you should really be watching what you're eating. She's like, really? Well, I thought I passed it so I could eat whatever I want. And she was telling her, like, no, like, if you don't exercise and you don't eat, your baby will be big. And that is a whole other topic because that can cause complications for both mother and baby. So I definitely agree. Like, you really should be eating not more. You should be eating more calories as far as protein, as far as healthy fats, like things like that.
That's, and I mean, nutrition is not my expertise by any
Same.
means, but I always say, like, focus on making sure you're getting enough protein
Yes.
first with your calories.
Yes.
Make sure it's spread out so it's getting absorbed all day. And then pair it with like healthy carbs and fats.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean you can never ever indulge. Like, if you want a little bit of chocolate or something, fine, but like fit it in a mindful way.
100%, and that's the same for gestational diabetes, the same exact advice.
Yeah. And I love that because I think a lot of moms, I mean, gosh, even like third pregnancy, and I took my gestational diabetes test this time, and like, I know my health practices are so much better this time, and I knew I didn't really have anything to worry about, but there's just something that's like, ooh, like, what if I don't pass? What if I get that label? Like, what's gonna happen? Which I do midwifery care now, so it's a little bit different, but like, can you speak a little bit to when someone has that label slapped on them? Like, what does that actually mean? Does that mean like they're doomed, they can't have a natural birth? Like, what do you tell a mama who gets that label slapped on them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Honestly, first of all, I want to tell all the mamas, it's more common than you think. It's actually a really scary statistic. In my diabetes class that I took, I don't remember off the top of my head, so I don't want to like just say some random number, but it's like since 2020, the rate of gestational diabetes has like tremendously increased. The pra Our practice has been seeing like so many women per month. I don't even want to know. I don't even know the number. So it's so common. And don't feel like you're alone, really. Like, so many women, you would be shocked. Like, women that are skinny, women that are first baby, young women, like, there's so many women that are getting this diagnosis. So don't feel like you're alone. Also, you can totally have a beautiful delivery, amazing pregnancy, postpartum. You can even bounce back, as they say. And also, another thing, you might not even have gestational diabetes for another baby. If you really put the work and you implement healthy lifestyle habits, you might not have that diagnosis again. So don't think like it's the end. There's a light to the end of the tunnel, and also it's a short period of time, really. And ultimately you will have a beautiful, healthy baby at the end of this pregnancy. So don't feel like, oh my God, like I'll never make it. Like there's so many practical tips that you can use, and you will make it, and you will have a great delivery. Because if you get educated, you will. So that's why I recommend that you really do get educated on practical tips and childbirth classes, and just educate yourself, really.
Yeah. Well, and it's amazing because it doesn't matter when you learn it, you now know it, you know? I love like I mean, my son, there are tons of things I would go back and I would do differently. I did them different with my daughter, doing them differently with my second daughter. But I always tell people like just because you have this huge bump in the road or you're intimidated, like it's the same mentality of like if you had one flat, would you go and like slash all three other tires? Like, no, it's insane. Like you would just replace that tire and go forward, you know, and like maybe be more careful where you drive next time or you know, whatever. But it's not like a doomsday, you know, thing. There's a lot we can do moving forward. And something I even really love to educate moms on is like building muscle mass makes a big, big difference in how we absorb glucose and things like that. And so, you know, hopefully it's amazing when we can reach ladies before they conceive so that they can be really well prepared. But whether we're meeting them in pregnancy and they're trying to avoid that diagnosis, whether they've already gotten that diagnosis, they're postpartum and then they're like trying to prepare for another
Another
pregnancy.
pregnancy.
Like there's never a wrong time. Yeah, there's so much we can do from a physical standpoint, from a diet standpoint, from intervention standpoint. There's so many things we can do.
I actually want to add to that. Now and more we're seeing pre-gestational diabetes. Before, it was mostly gestational diabetes, but now we're seeing either moms that didn't know they had diabetes, and like they found out when they came to their doctor and they told them they're pregnant, and they did blood work, and their A1C was like 14,
Oh,
and they're
wow.
like, you have diabetes.
Oh, wow.
And so we have a lot of that now. And also we have women that are getting pregnant like consecutively, and they're going from gestational diabetic to type 2 diabetic. So honestly, it's really important that we have these conversations, because if you're trying to conceive again, you can run into issues if you're not well controlled in your diabetes. So we're seeing so many like improvements with education. So even preconception, you really need to get educated to get pregnant and then maintain the pregnancy, because there are complications if your diabetes is not controlled, whether it's a miscarriage or abnormalities for babies. So it's really like you just touched up on a huge topic.
Yeah, it's I'm encouraged that like I'm starting to actually hear from some ladies who haven't even conceived for the first time yet, and they're just like wanting to get their pelvic health in a good place. They're wanting to get really healthy, and I'm like, yes, that's amazing. Let's keep this going. But yeah, no matter where you are in your journey when you hear this, I hope it brings you encouragement. It brings you some practical first steps. It gives you some resources to reach out to. Because like she said, it's very common. Like we act like it's so rare, and if it happens to you, you're all alone, and that's absolutely not true. There's a ton we can do no matter where you are. And that's one of the things I love about social media. Again, Texas, New York. like there, you
It's a
know,
small world.
it is. And it, you know, it's all about supporting mamas, educating them, and yeah, just empowering like to have a better motherhood experience going forward. I love that.
And babies, the helping babies have a better future, health-wise as well,
Yes,
really.
absolutely. I just love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was so helpful. And I just hope that a lot of mamas hear it and feel encouraged and know like the next steps to take and who to reach out to for more help. And I'll have it linked down below so y'all can get in touch with gestational diabetes nurse. And I hope y'all have a wonderful New Year's, that you really get to like take a deep breath today, kind of look back on your year, be grateful for what's happened, and also any plans or changes that you want to implement going forward that you feel supported in those. We're definitely here for you, because motherhood is definitely challenging, but it's also like the coolest thing
It's the
ever.
best thing, and you can do it. You really can.
Yes, you don't have to like that's you don't have to go into it with perfect health. Like
Oh.
just learn and move forward.
And every day is a new day. Even
Yes.
if you have one high blood sugar, as long one high blood sugar is not the end of the world. Like, don't get discouraged. As long as you're implementing healthy lifestyle habits, your baby will be healthy, and that's the most important thing. And I've had so many GDM mamas have beautiful deliveries and healthy babies, health babies that their blood sugar is normal, they were able to breastfeed. So like, it's totally doable as long as you get educated and like implement these techniques.
Yes, I love it. Well, y'all have a very, very happy New Year, and let's just have a great 2025.
Yes, God willing. Thank you so much,
Of
Emily.
course.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you for coming on, and we'll chat
My
soon.
pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Pelvic Floor Fit podcast. It is my absolute honor to empower, educate, and inspire you mamas to have the most amazing motherhood journey possible. If this was helpful for you, please leave me a 5-star review and send this to a mama who needs to hear it.